who is not the owner of the sheep sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Jesus describes himself in this scripture as the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. The good shepherd that lays down his life for their well-being. He is saying he is that good shepherd who did so. Aren't you glad? Grateful that he laid down his life for us. We often think about the ones who actually did the crucifixion, the soldiers and the Jewish leaders who brought him to the cross. But ultimately, when he knows what Jesus said in this passage, he talked about the sheep that are his. In verse 18, he said about his life, "No one takes it away from me, but I lay it down." So when we come today to the cross, we recognize Jesus chose to do that. In fact, he said to them at one occasion, "If I so chose, I could call legions of angels and they would come and set me free." It was his choice. He did that because he loves us. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. But I recognize today, I thank you, Jesus, for choosing the cross. For choosing to go through with that. We recall that in the garden as he prayed that if possible that this might be taken away. But he said, "Not my will, but yours." He chose the cross. And I'm grateful for that. So let's think about that. And as we prepare in a moment to share this reminder of Jesus Christ and the cross. We are saved today because of Jesus and the cross. Not because of anything we do, but because of what he did and his payment for our sin and his offering himself on our behalf. So we come to remember that today. So let me think about that on your notes if you got them out on your bulletin. The first one is, Jesus chose the cross because it reveals how terrible sin is. Jesus chose the cross because it reveals how terrible sin is. When I think about what Jesus did, our sin, my sin, your sin, sent him to the cross. Was your sin on the cross? Was your sin there when Jesus died? Was your sin a part of what he died for? It is. Let me read the scripture passage that talk about him offering himself. The first one says, "For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he should offer himself often, as a high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." The other passage says, "Now the works of the flesh are obvious, sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar, about which I tell you in advance, as I told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." But when I think about the cross, it reminds me of the terribleness of sin. Because the only way that our sin could be forgiven is Jesus had to die for us on that cross. Nothing we do, nothing we say, no actions we could take would accomplish that because we would not ever be good enough. And so when I look at the cross and the price Jesus Christ paid, it tells me that sin is a terrible thing. And I need to be cautious with that because sometimes I forget what sin is. As human beings, and all of us, I think at times can think well, I didn't kill anybody today. I didn't cheat on my husband or wife today. Or I didn't break in the store and steal anything, so I didn't sin. But if I have hatred towards somebody, is that sin? If I find myself with a negative attitude, critical, judgmental attitude, that may be sin. So what I'm saying is sin's bigger than the big number of whatever category is. So when Jesus died, he died for all those sins, not just the major, what we call major ones. And my sin was involved. So when I look at the cross, I realize any sin is terrible. Any sin is terrible. It cost Jesus his life. And he willingly did that, chose to do that, because he knew the only way we could ever get free was through his death on the cross and our receiving him as our Savior and Lord. So today, as I think about the cross, I thank you, Lord, for a reminder that when I sin, it's a terrible thing. I'm reminded of what David said in the Psalms. He said, "Against you and you only have I sinned." My sin is ultimately against God. It may affect other people, but ultimately against God, and ultimately, of course, the cross. And so he has come, he said, once at the end of the age to put away sin. How? By the sacrifice of himself. We know that he was the only one perfect enough, the only one good enough to do that for us, Jesus. But when I look at the other passage of Scripture, when I talk about how bad sin is, the list of things in that passage of Scripture are quite extensive about what sin does to us. When an individual or individuals get caught up in these things that are listed in this second passage of Scripture, is their lives better or worse? Is life good when you're doing this stuff, or is it bad? See, sin destroys us. In fact, the scriptures where Jesus says at first it may, or the scripture says it may at first be sweet, but it stings like an adder, it sours in our stomach, and ultimately destroys us. The Bible says about the devil, he came to steal, kill, and to destroy. Now, he doesn't tell us that. He offers us all kinds of funny, fun-looking stuff, but when we do it, it results in destruction. So sin, when I see the cross, it reminds me of how terrible sin is, because these things that are listed here come out of sin, and they hurt people, they destroy people, they keep us from having the kind of life God wants us to have. And I realize that when I look at the cross, my sin was terrible. Cost God everything. Cost him his son. One individual wrote about sin this way. Sin is a blasting presence, and every fine power shrinks and withers in its destructive heat. Every spiritual delicacy succumbs to its malignant touch. Sin impairs the sight and works toward blindness. Sin benumbs the hearing and tends to make men deaf. Sin perverts the taste, causing men to confound the sweet with the bitter and the bitter with the sweet. Sin hardens the touch and eventually renders a man past feeling. All these are scriptural analogies, and their common significance appears to be this. Sin blocks and chokes the fine senses of the spirit. By sin, we are desensitized, rendered imperceptive, and the range of our correspondence is diminished. Sin creates callosity. It hoofs the spirit to reduce the areas of our exposure to pain. Sin cost us a lot, but it cost Jesus a lot. So when I come to the Lord's Supper in a moment, take these elements, I'll remember my sin cost him a lot. And he's willing to do that. The second thing, Jesus chose the cross because he loves us. Jesus chose the cross because he loves us. Does it ever amaze you how much God loves you? When you contemplate your own life and you know your shortcomings and your disobedience and your sin and realize God loves you, does that amaze you? I think it's amazing that he loves us, but he does. And I'm grateful that that love is unconditional. It's not because we behave a certain way or because we meet a certain expectation, but because he, as God, is love, and therefore he loves us. Doesn't mean he approves of everything we do, but he loves us. The scripture says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as an offering. It was for our benefit that he went to the cross, so we could be forgiven We could be restored to right relationship to God. Notice it said in that scripture, He gave Himself up for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant, sweet-smelling aroma to God. His own Son offered on the cross. So He loves us. The other passage says, But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't say, You guys get all things, you ducks in a row, everything straight, then I'll love you. No, the Bible says that while we were sinners, has anybody here been sinners? We've all been sinners at some point in our life. The Bible says while we're sinners, He died for us, that He might redeem us from our sin and forgive us and bring us into a right relationship with God, which God desires. It's amazing to me how much God loves us and how much God says, I want you to belong to me. That's the extent of God's love. When He gave His Son, the ultimate that He had was His own Son for you and I, that we could be forgiven and restored. And so I celebrate today, Lord, when I come to the cross, I remember this today. I want to remember when I take His illness, Jesus loves me. He really does. And I will love Him back. A man in Dundee, Scotland, fell and broke his neck at age 15. As a result, he was confined to bed for 40 years. But his spirit remained vibrant. And he remained full of cheer and courage. And the people who came by were inspired. And he had a lot of people who came by and visited him. One day a visitor asked him, Doesn't Satan ever tempt you to doubt God? The man said, Oh, yes, he does try to tempt me. He said, I lie here and I see my schoolmates and friends going by. And Satan whispers, If God is so good, why does He keep you here all these years? Why did He let you break your neck? The visitor asked him, What do you do when Satan whispers such things? The man replied, Ah, I take him to the cross. Show him Christ. Point to those deep wounds and say, You see, He does love me. And he said, Satan doesn't have an answer to that. He flees every time. Because I point him to the cross. God loves me. And I celebrate today as we take these reminders that God loves me. He chose the cross because He said, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for loving me enough to do that. On the other side of your notes, Jesus chose the cross because of joy. Those don't all seem to go together. Cross and joy. They seem to be opposites. Notice what the Scripture says. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews talked about those in chapter 11 who people of faith, wonderful ones of them, numbers of them. And He challenges us to lay aside everything that hinders us, but fix our eyes on Jesus who endured the cross. For the joy. How does joy and the cross fit with Jesus? I don't know all that that means, but I'm going to suggest a couple of things. I believe the joy of the cross meant He was doing what His Father sent Him to do. He was going to fulfill the mission that He came to earth to do, that is, to be our Savior, to die for our sins. And there's a joy in completing what His Father asked Him to do. And He fulfilled that. On the cross, you remember, He said, It is finished. And there was a joy of knowing that He had done what His Father had asked Him to do for us. But also, I think a part of that joy of the cross meant He was going to watch people who would believe in Him because of what He did, and they would be delivered from their sin and from Satan and go to heaven. I believe Jesus saw those individuals who would believe in Him, and He rejoiced that through what He was doing on the cross, there was joy in the heart of Jesus that other individuals would believe in Him and be saved. What I want to suggest to us today is, when Jesus died on the cross for the joy set before Him, He saw each of you who have believed in Him. And He rejoiced that you would become a Savior, would trust Him as Savior, you'd become His child, you would enter the kingdom of heaven, you would be with Him forever. And He saw that when He died on that cross. Thank you, Jesus, that he saw me. Aren't you glad? The joy of knowing that each one of us who have become believers and those who will become believers, there was a joy. And so when I come to the Lord's Supper, thank you, Lord, for the joy you saw in the midst of all you went through. You saw. And I'm glad I got in on what you're up to. I rejoice in that. The last thing on your notes is Jesus chose the cross because it was the only way we could be saved. Jesus chose the cross because it was the only way we could be saved. I believe if God had had another way, he would have chosen it. Why in the world would he have sent his son to live here on earth, to die on the cross, to become our sin and to be separated from the Father, all that he did, if there's any other way? That was the only way. Scripture passage says, first one says, first of all, then I urge that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, so it may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good, and it pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, a man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, a testimony at the proper time. He said we need to be praying for those in leadership, but God, it pleased God, who wants everyone to be saved. You recognize that God wants every soul to be saved. God is never happy when somebody dies without him. Never. They choose to go that way, but he's never happy. But notice what it says. There's how many mediators between us and God? One. That mediator is Jesus. Jesus knew that he was the only one who would be good enough, holy enough, pure enough to pay for our sins on the cross, to be the perfect sacrifice, so he could become the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He gave himself a ransom for all, the testimony at the right time. So, because of that, we can be saved. And if you believe in Jesus, you are saved because of what he did. This one mediator, not because of anything else you did, but because of him. And so I come today to say, thank you, Jesus. You chose the cross. Because you knew that was the only way I'd ever be born again. The only way I'd ever get saved. The only way I'd ever go to heaven is because of what you did on the cross, which we're going to remember. The other scripture passage says, for you've been called for this purpose, since Christ suffered for us, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. He gave himself that we might die to sin. Aren't you glad that sin and evil can be broken in your life? Because of the blood of Christ, the cross of Jesus. And what else does that say? Not only have it broken, but to live for righteousness, to live for what is good and holy, and a life that will be forever, a life that is good and positive. By his wounds, by his stripes, we are healed. Thank you, Lord, for bearing my sins on the cross, because he knew that was the only way I'd ever get to know God the Father. Through him, through Jesus. And I've come to know him. So I would say to you today, have you chosen him? Have you chosen Jesus as the way to the cross, to be saved? Have you chosen Jesus as the way to life, or are you trying to do it some other way? He's the only way, but if you choose him. Now, if you've already chosen him, celebrate today. I hope that as we come in a moment, past the bread and the juice, that you remember, Jesus did this for me. Thank you, Jesus. I hope we honor him and love him and adore him and let him praise him as we think about all the things that he's done in our life. Has God done anything in your life? You have anything to praise him for today as you take these two elements? Some of you entered the narrow gate through Jesus and you walk on the narrow way, which Jesus talked about earlier in Matthew, which we looked at. I'm glad to be on the narrow way. I don't always do it well, but I'm glad to be on the narrow. I'm glad to know I'm going to heaven. I'm glad to know my sin is forgiven. I'm glad to know Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I belong to him. And I want to worship him this day. I want to honor him as I come and say, thank you, Jesus, because the scripture says you chose to go to the cross for me. And I get in on what you went to the cross to do. Lord, help me to live for you. Help me to follow, as we sang earlier, to live for Jesus throughout our life, so I can honor him who willingly gave his life for us. The only hope, but praise God, it's real hope. He is real hope. And we have him. Let's bow together for a moment. As we pray, my encouragement would be that you ask the Lord Jesus to take over in your life if you don't know Him. If you do, think about Him and begin to thank Him in your mind for all the things He's done. Thank Him for going to the cross for you. Thank Him for all that's happened in your life because of Him. And you're here today because of what He did and what He's doing. And let's honor Him. Thank Him for choosing the cross. Thank Him for choosing to let us know about Him and for our choice to follow Him. You need to share a decision or commitment to Jesus. Give you a moment to sit by your seat and come and share that. You need to share a concern or prayer or commitment in some way before we continue. Then feel free to come, because it's coming to Jesus, not to me. Let's open our hearts and lives to Him. He is here. Praise His name. He is here. Lord, we come today to thank You for Your grace and love. Help us to comprehend more fully what the cross meant to You, what it cost You, and what that means to us today to have life forever with You, to have You take care of us day by day in this world and look forward to the future with You, to have You guide every step of the way. Now, Lord, help us to honor You in these moments as we take these elements to remind us of who You are, what You've done. But we honor You as we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. We will be sharing together. Sometimes people ask who should participate. If you know Christ as Savior and Lord, that's between you and Him. There will be in each tray a little cup that has water in case someone is allergic to grape juice. That's why that's there along the way. So, man, if you'll come, we'll share together. And Wanda's going to come and sing, and then as we share, but I'll remind you what we're about, why we're here, and what the Scripture says. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Luther, lead us, please.
Dear Lord, we thank You for this beautiful ordinance and for the opportunity to remember what You've done for us, that You did what we are unable to do. And we ask now, as we participate in this service, that You bless people.